Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. Please like, follow, and subscribe to this podcast so that you never, ever miss an episode of its uplifting, inspiring, empowering, soul-saving content. My guest today is Monica R. Butler, founder and visionary of the Gospel Music Hall of Fame, located in St. Louis, Missouri. She is also a 25-plus year gospel television, film industry, veteran producer, filmmaker, all of that stuff. And we've known each other since our younger days, as I shall say, as members of the same church, New Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church in St. Louis, Missouri. Again, reconnecting with her when she was doing production work and producing on the BET show, Bobby Jones Gospel. So she has a deep history in gospel. She's rooted in gospel and raised up in gospel. Monica, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Lynn. Oh my God, this is exciting.
Oh, you're welcome, because we talk all the time. We work on stuff all the time. This is just a continuation, but now we're just going to let...
continuation of our normal conversation.
That is correct. Now, let's dig into who Monica is, y'all. We're going to find out a little bit about her background. So, Monica, as I said earlier, we both came out of New Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church before we left to go off and do our own national things in media. But not only did you grow up in the church, you grew up in gospel because of your mother, and she had, and you had a unique experience inside of the gospel music world. So tell us about that.
Absolutely. So yes, I did grow up in gospel. My mother was a singer and sang with the famous O'Neill twins in the Interfaith Choir. So growing up, she just drugged me along to all the concerts and the recordings. And, you know, she kept me in church. So I was at a young lady at New Bethlehem Church, which is the church we went to together. And then I was also raised in Progressive Baptist Church with the maestro Dello Defford and Reverend J.D. Linton. And so I have been in church all my life. We had a baby grand piano actually in my living room. So
wow.
Singing was one of the things that we were known to do in our home, and prayer.
Got to get that prayer in there.
So, absolutely.
So when you were a little girl, what was it that you desired to do? What was your dream? Did you think you'd be working in gospel and in television and film, or did you have something else on your mind at that time?
Well, I just thought I wanted to be a social worker and just help people, you know.
Really? Okay.
I love seeing people happy. And you know, if it's something I can do to make a person smile, that was always me. So I was always the one in the crowd to just keep everybody laughing, keep everybody going, even as a kid. You know, so growing up in this gospel music with my mom and going to church so much and being with her while they were doing their concerts, I believe that, you know, my shaping of this gospel music started probably when I was about 16. And that was the year that the documentary film Say Amen, Somebody was actually produced in St. Louis. So I knew I loved gospel music, but the more I saw these cameras and lighting and all this, you know, taking place when they were filming the documentary film, I just felt like, oh my God, I think this is what I want to do.
Okay.
So that's how that started.
This is what started this unction, or this, turned this light on inside of you for television and film. Then you went on to Southern. Was it Southern University in Baton Rouge?
I went to Southern University in Baton Rouge, but even before that, I was also dragged into the radio station with Zella Jackson Price and Ruby Somerville Dixon. You know, I mean, my mom always kept me up under somebody's wing. I would go to the radio stations with them and watch them work. And then when I got ready to go away to college, my godfather, he sang with one of Della Defford phenomenal groups, and I forget the name of it right now, but his name was Ben Germany, and very phenomenal tenor singer. And so he was helping to make sure that I went away to college, my mom and him. And so when they pushed me away to college, I say pushed me away, I was going to Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and, you know, I was telling them that this journey is going to be something because it's the first time I'm away from home. And all I knew and all they could tell me was to get into a church. And so I did. From college, they had school church buses that would come around, and I went to one of the churches. And while I was at the church, the pastor had just recently acquired a 24-hour gospel radio station. And so he asked the congregation, was there anybody in the congregation that knew anything about radio? And I raised my hand, you know, because I knew something about radio. I used to go in the radio stations with Zell or Jackson Price.
In St. Louis, yeah.
So I knew something about radio. And back then, that radio station was called KIRL.
And this is St. Louis legendary stuff with radio and St. Louis gospel personalities. Yeah, just to clarify for our fans who may be in Japan.
This radio station was phenomenal in giving us 24 hours of gospel music. And so when I got there and I raised my hand, and the pastor called a meeting and asked us, you know, he called the meeting, and I would tell you that I was so excited. I called home and I told Zella, and I called Ruby, and I told my mom. And then by the time I got to my grandmother, she said that she was watching us on TV. And I was like, I just told my grandmother that we were on radio. I didn't say television.
Okay.
So I didn't know what she was talking about. But however, she said, no, I'm watching y'all on TV right now. I said, Granny, who are you watching? And she said, that crying minister. I said, who is that? She said, Jimmy Swaggart. And when she said that, Lynn, I tell you, it was like bells went off in my head. I said, that's it. Before the meeting at the church, I'm going over to Jimmy Swaggart's church because I'm in Baton Rouge.
Okay.
And I'm going to volunteer so that when I go back to my church, I will know something about radio, you know, get some extra knowledge.
Right. Uh-huh.
So I called Jimmy Swaggart's church, and the young lady who answered the phone, she said hello, and I asked her, I said, well, what is your position? And she said, I'm the public affairs director. And I say, oh, that's awesome. So what do you all do? So she told me how they did FCC quarterly reports and things of that sort. I said, I would love to come over and shadow you one day. And so she allowed me to do that, and I went over to Jimmy Swaggart's church, and I probably worked with her probably about 3 or 4 months of training to be a public affairs director. And so I did that, and my church, of course, was very, very happy because I brought back all this knowledge of making sure that we did our quarterly reports. And so one day, maybe about 6 months later, she called me from Jimmy Swaggart's church, and she said, Miss Monica, I need you to come by and pick up something. I have something for you. And so, Lynn, I went by, and she actually had an envelope for me which held my FCC license. She said, because I was being trained up under her at an FCC station, she can license me.
And what they might not know now these days, Monica, you actually had to apply for an FCC license to be on the radio.
Absolutely.
And there were tests, too, at certain times that you had to take. They don't have them now.
My God.
Yeah.
So I was honored and happy. Did not know she was taking me through the process. Filled out paperwork. Did not know what I was doing, but just honored. You know, but, you know, God will order your steps.
Yes, he will.
In such a way, you know. So that was my journey through college and things of that sort, you know. So I'll let you go ahead with your next question, because as you know how I am, I can talk.
Yes, she's a talker, but we love her. When she talks, she's got something good to say, and always a great story that you're going to learn something interesting from Miss Monica. Now, when did you get your professional break working with, like, films, plays, and television? If you can give me a quick synopsis of that.
Absolutely. So, I want to say my break came from Miss Merdine Gales. You know, Miss Merdine opened up a door for me. She had a conflict of scheduling. I don't know if she had to go through Bobby Jones Gospel or what it was, but she was working with a television station in St. Louis, Missouri. She needed to do her show. So she asked me to sit in for her for that show. And at that time, I was very excited to be in television. So I went and I sat in for her, and by the time she came back, people started telling her, oh, we love Monica. Monica did great. And so I was like, this is it. I'm going to be a host of a TV show. So I started doing that. And then in college, I decided that I would try to host a gospel music show. Well, Lynn, at the time, I came back to St. Louis. I was able to get a position, a television show, Double Helix, which was like a public access station in St. Louis. Well, they allowed me to do a television show called Lift Every Voice. And this particular show was a gospel music video show. And at that time, Lynn, the only person that was doing videos on television was like Donnie Simpson on BET. And so when I would go to the convention and I would ask different artists about videos, even some of the record labels, they were like, we don't have very many. Maybe the Winers may have some, but at the time it was very expensive to do these videos. And so I would just run my mouth and ask people, just send me anything. If you have something you recorded at your church, you know, just send it to me. And so I would start receiving those things. And then, you know, as years would go by, I would start getting tapes, and these big old quarter inch tapes. They were so huge.
Yes.
And they would send me from the record labels, and, you know, with Max Siegel and Jazzy Jordan, you know, all of them would send me this product, and I would start doing my gospel video show, which led me to my more professional me in television, you know, because that was an actual television show that aired on a network. So that being said, I started working with Michael Matthews and doing plays and with him, and then Jacarius Johnson and Tyler Perry, working with their plays. And then my life just began to be on the road, just traveling, doing all these different plays and in all these wonderful, wonderful cities. So that was my life, you know, just traveling, doing a lot of the plays.
And a lot of those plays were what? They were either gospel or faith-based or mostly family entertainment or African-American themed plays, weren't they?
Absolutely. They would call it back then that we would travel the chitlin circuit. You know, and but they did so well. The plays did so well. And, you know, and as far as television was concerned, you know, we were able to take one of those plays, which was called Mama, I Wanna Sing, and actually turn it into a film. So that was when we actually filmed the movie Mama, I Wanna Sing in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And again, another door opened for me. I remember doing the plays for years, and then now I'm more into film. So that just opened up the door for me now to do The Butler, Jurassic World, some of John Wick films with Tom Cruise. I've done things with Will Smith, and it just opened up that world. And again, as I said before, when you allow God to order yourself,
mm-hmm.
That was just what I did, Lynn. That's all I knew to do.
So, and then by allowing God to order your steps and paying attention when he spoke to you to say, do this, do that, without
Absolutely.
Question and without hesitation. And then there came your blessings. So you got all of this going on television, film, the plays, but you're still anchored in gospel and anchored in your faith. But what's been most challenging about being a woman working in television, film, and plays?
Oh, my God. Well, as a woman, for me, I would say that it wasn't really challenging for me, I don't think, because I didn't have any children, and I was able to travel a lot and do a lot of things, and, you know, and I just enjoyed it so much. You know, it was like having a baby, so to speak. This was my baby, what I did in the industry. So I would say, Lynn, if there were any challenges, it was, I could tell you one in particular. I started working with an actor by the name of John Snyder. If anybody knows him, he had the blonde hair on the Dukes of Hazzard. They called him Bo Duke. And he also was in The Have and Have Not.
I think, John Cryer.
So I actually was able to work on his land when he purchased some land in Baton Rouge and run his film production company. So the challenge that I had became I would say racism. You know, okay. Because the Confederate flag that he had on the car, I guess at the time, you know, Dukes of Hazzard represented with the Confederate flag, you still had people that came around that looked at me as an African-American woman like, who the heck she thinks she is running his production company? You know, so yeah. I would face those type of challenges. But it was one of those things, Lynn, where I never felt pushed away. I was always a strong person. My mother, marched in civil rights and back in the day fighting in St. Louis for the rights of us to go into banks and to have a seat at the table. So during that time, I guess I got strength, you know, just strength from what I was geared up or reared up in. I just didn't let it bother me, you okay. know. So my life just continued to see those type of people. And being a Christian first, you know, being a Christian, I would be able to look at them and see their problem or their situation or what they had to hang up with and just pray for them and keep it moving.
Pray for them and you keep it moving.
Pray for them and you keep it moving, you know. And I start even feeling sad for John Snyder, because now I'm back in St. Louis and I'm seeing all these things on television about the Confederate flag and how they're counseling Dukes of Hazzard for a while, taking the show off. And I'm like, this man is not president. Let me speak up. I'll go on TV and talk for him. Because that was just my heart, you know. But at the same time, you know, you go through these experiences, and I believe that God, you know, keeping Him first in your life, and knowing that when you run into these challenges as a woman, as an African American woman, that you can always overcome them through prayer and with God.
And speaking of you as an African American woman, you have a project before you now, which takes you all the way back to your gospel roots, the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. And it's rooted in the film, the documentary you talked about, Say Amen, Somebody, had a profound effect on you. So talk to me about that profound effect, and then going into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame.
Absolutely. So, again, I was 16 years old, sitting, watching my mom sing in the choir, you know, watching Zella, my godmother, sing, and seeing the Holy Spirit break out on Willie Mae Ford Smith, you know, in that moment, and her children being able to see their mom in that moment. If you haven't watched the film, I would tell people, please watch it. It's definitely heart-wrenching. That was that time for me, seeing all that take place. And so now, Lynn, coming back to St. Louis, seeing them with a blues museum, going to Kansas City, Missouri, and seeing the Negro League Museum and the Jazz Museum. And every now and then, somebody will touch on gospel music, because a lot of things have derived from gospel music. Mm-hmm. You know, and seeing all that, I just felt as if we need a place to store our artifacts and keep this vision alive. I know that so many others have talked about this for years. And then they're probably even doing it in other cities. But I just felt like us doing the film here in St. Louis, Missouri, Say Amen, Somebody, that this definitely should be one of the stopping points where they can come and learn about the history of gospel music right here in the state of Missouri.
Now, speaking of the Gospel Music Hall of Fame and gospel in the state of Missouri, what's Missouri's connection to the history of gospel music? That's one of the key things, too, that prompted you to start building on this legacy.
Absolutely. And Lynn, the church that we're developing to be the Gospel Music Hall of Fame is a historic church in our area, and it sits in a district called Holy Corners. And so these churches in these areas look like, oh my God, look like something when you go to London, Buckingham Palace or something. These are beautiful steeples and beautiful churches that some have just, they started to be vandalized, and you could just see pieces missing off of it, copper and things things of that sort. So to see that happening in your area is sad on one end, but at the same time, to be able to acquire something like that and to bring it back to life and to have it be a Gospel Music Hall of Fame in this area, it's just a wonderful thing that we can give to this industry. You know, this is something that's so moving for me, Lynn, with all that I've done with the plays and the films and working with the film camp and having my own production company now. This is one that I don't care about doing anything else but this at this point. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like I love everything else I do, but this is one that I feel like this is a move of God and it has to happen.
As my understanding of it is that the building, the site that you have, that you're acquired or in the process of acquiring or working with the developers on, is the Second Baptist Church, and it's like, is it over 100 years old, that building?
It is, Lynn, and they used to then let blacks in there, and they had a preacher that saw it having concert and allowing African-Americans to come in and sing the gospel, and oh my God, it just grew over the years. So it's definitely a place that even as a young lady that I used to, you know, frequent there because of these gospel concerts. And then when I decided that I wanted to produce a concert myself, I had Tremaine Hawkins there working with a gentleman. And it was phenomenal. We've had John P. Key there. So they've all sang in this church that we're now going to make the Gospel Music Hall of Fame.
What is so significant about you? You mentioned about Holy Corners. What is so significant about putting this Gospel Music Hall of Fame, which is actually going to be a cultural arts center and destination for people looking and to study the arts? What is so significant about the location of this building, which is the former Second Baptist Church?
Absolutely. So this location sits in the central west end of St. Louis, which is a prominent area. And what's significant for me, Lynn, is it's one block away from Del Mar. And Del Mar has been known for years as this area being the Del Mar Divide. On one side of the street, you have African Americans or underprivileged people. And on the other side of the street, you have the upper crust, you know. Mm-hmm. And so with this Del Mar Divide, now the whole community in this area is working on pulling things together and calling it actually the Del Mar Divine.
Oh, wow.
And so this church sits in the corridor of that. And so it's showing bringing unity together. And so gospel music is not just an African-American thing. It's gospel music. You know, it's just that African-Americans, I believe, are the first to kind of put it out there, you know, but a lot of people, all races, sing gospel music. You know, so I'm excited about bringing this to fruition and excited about helping to merge this divide together to show unity in this area.
So tell me about your grand vision for the Gospel Music Hall of Fame right there on Holy Corners. What's going to be there? And what can people look forward to? It's going to be a cultural arts and destination where you told me it's global. So what's going to be there?
Yeah, absolutely. So educational classes for gospel music, a state-of-the-art film production and recording studio, interactive exhibits, a gift shop, going to have a courtyard where people can get married in the courtyard. We're going to also have in that courtyard the Faith Walk, where you can actually purchase a brick and put your name on it with a QR code, and somebody click on that QR code and it can just play your favorite gospel song or show pictures of you and things of that sort. And so inside the main sanctuary, I call it Sitting with the Legends. And the person that I talk to so closely, and you know this gentleman also, Brother Steve, of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. We were talking about it, and we were just talking about sitting with the legends and maybe having wax figures or statuettes of our great sitting in the pews, like all over the sanctuary, because it's a very, very large sanctuary. And you can go and sit with that figure like Mahalia Jackson and sit next to her, take your selfie, or take some headsets and put them on your ears and listen to Mahalia sing to you.
So interactive. It's interactive then. Okay.
Interactive, absolutely. So we're excited about that, putting animation piece together so that people could go through the journey of gospel music and bring them to the now, from then to now. And just excited about being able to continue to educate people that don't know the history of gospel music, and then pay homage to those that do know, and just show that we're keeping our heritage of gospel music alive.
It's also going to contain artifacts, and you're going about your business, so you'll be gathering artifacts for that. And what's the timeline on this? What is your estimated budget that your team is trying to...
Okay. Our timeline now is looking to open in 2024.
Okay.
And we're excited again, Lynn, about having a fabulous team working with us, one being the nonprofit organization of Inspired Lives Foundation. We just love our collaboration with your organization. And
she gave me a shameless plug, y'all, for Inspired Lives Foundation. And then you have the Lawrence Group, the developers.
And I have the Lawrence Group, who are phenomenal developers here in the city of St. Louis. They've done things in other states as well.
They handle multi-million dollar projects, which is...
multi-million dollar projects. And Lynn, we wanted to get with someone just that would give it justice and do it right. We didn't want to just put something together where it still needed to add this or that. We just want to make sure that when we do it, we do it, and we do it with excellence, you know. And then just not only that, having a phenomenal team with us, I don't have to name them all, but having Teresa Harrison, who's deep-rooted in gospel music with her Gospel Today and things of that sort, on our team, and yourself, history in gospel music, to give us some guidance and consultation and being a part of the team, you know. So it's just phenomenal. And then we still got our own legends right here. Zella Jackson Price is still kicking and alive. Mm-hmm. We have Dello Thefford and Joseph Price, and we still have Quincy Fielding Jr., and you know, there's so many. Mary Beth Gentry, there's so many others, and I hate to start calling names because I'll miss somebody. Latchison. You know,
so we got so many others. Yeah, you mentioned some of the regions or areas. Great. And then you have connections internationally. We were just over in London. We have connections there.
We have connections in London. We just come back, both of us, from the International Gospel Music Summit in London with Carol Crawford, and she has connected us with other historians that can tell us more about even how gospel music started in London. So internationally, we're pulling things together. We have a group out of Africa that's coming in to support us and give us history from that area. And here just recently, Lynn, I found out that we have a gospel Asian church right here in the state of Missouri. Our history runs deep, you know, but for me, Lynn, gospel heals the soul. The music, it takes you there, and it helps you through whatever situation you're going through. So I'm honored today to be able to work on this venture and to be able to work with you and so many others that have a love for gospel music.
It's about building a legacy, paying homage to those who have come before us. We believe that you need to understand the history of it. Where did it come from, so that you can appreciate where you are now with it? And we don't want, with so many art forms, you know, kind of bubbling down, we want this one to stay at the top and have our younger generation understand where this all comes from and how you have built upon that, and you're standing on the shoulders of so many folks that have come before you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And and just paying homage to that is important to me, Lynn. Here just recently we had an awareness brunch, and to have Ethel Foster, who's 98 years old now, who helped pave the way for gospel music as well, in our presence and in our midst was phenomenal. And I just want to continue doing that across the country and bringing people and their artifacts to the Missouri area for the world to be able to come see and understand what we have paid into gospel music.
Amen, amen. And we're still building a team which will have gospel historians, people that have actually worked in the gospel industry. You have folks from the educational aspect of things that are involved in this. So it is a phenomenal team. Now, Monica, how can people find out more information about the Gospel Music Hall of Fame? How can they donate? Where can they find you and connect on social media?
Awesome. Well, our hashtag is Mo Gospel, M-O Gospel, and you can hashtag that or go to mogospel.com. And if you would just Google Gospel Music Hall of Fame in Missouri, we should come up, you know, so definitely we look for your support. And Lynn, you know, we talk about this all the time. You know, we're not trying to just make a name for ourselves or anything like that with this. We invite everybody to come that has some type of information to help us with this and be a part or bring things to the table that might be interesting for others to learn about our history. It's just a phenomenal thing to be able to see. And Lynn, I don't know, here recently on PBS, they had a big special called The Black Church.
Yes.
And just watching that special and seeing our roots, these are things that we need our own brick and mortar that houses our gospel music, because it comes from a deep place and it reaches such a high place.
All right, then. Well, folks, you heard that. The story from Ms. Monica R. Butler. She had to remind me that she does have an R in there. And if you want to find out how you can donate, you can go to the website, mogospel.com. And Monica, how can they find you? The Gospel Music Hall of Fame has a Facebook page, don't they?
Absolutely. They do have a Facebook page, Gospel Music Hall of Fame.
And so how can they connect with you if they say, oh, I need to send something directly to Ms. Monica?
If they need to send something directly to Ms. Monica, they can go to my Facebook page, and it's under Monica R. Butler, or they can just call our number, you know, just get in contact with us. I don't have a problem with giving my office number. It's 314-479-2938. Give me a call and I will be happy to speak with you, or shoot me an email at thebutlergroup@yahoo.com.
Amen, amen. So thank you so much, Ms. Monica, for taking the time to talk to us today about this phenomenal project, Gospel Music Hall of Fame. It's going to be located in St. Louis, Missouri, and we believe that you'll be able to see it in 2024. We're working on that now. Please go to the website so that you can donate. And there is also a GoFundMe page that you can go to. What's the GoFundMe page? Is it called Holy Corners, or which one?
It's actually called the Gospel Music Hall of Fame.
Oh, you have one for that. Okay.
Yes, yes.
All right, then. Thank you so much. And audience, thank you so very, 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 very much for joining us today. You know, I truly, truly do appreciate you. Now, make sure that you like, follow, and subscribe to this podcast. Right now, hit that subscribe button so that you never, ever miss an episode of its uplifting, inspiring content. Now, if you'd like to reach me, connect with me, Lynn Woods. You can find me on Twitter. That's at Lynn Woods, LINWOODS, or Instagram at Lynn Woods 96, or Facebook at Lynn Woods. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. God bless.